You know, Jill has done thousands of these soul retrievals over the last 15 years, and she has some really extraordinary stories, some case studies of instances of soul retrieval in which she's been able to be of great service to people. And I'm going to look at Jill across the room and ask her to share one of her most winsome, charming stories to illustrate this point.
And illustrate it for us, Jill, how they were before the retrieval, and then what you did, and then what happened afterward.
Well, some people know their symptoms, and they come in, and they can't quite point to an incident in their life in which they know they have soul loss, although I ask them to. I ask them to consider, when do you feel you have this experience or sense it might have occurred? Now, what's fun for me is when somebody comes with a very specific incident, and sometimes they're rather shy about it. They don't want to give all the details, but there was one gentleman in his 60s who contacted me and said, I know when it happened, and it's affected my life since I was 8 years old, and I'm in my late 60s now, and I feel as if it's got to change. I have got to get beyond this issue. And it occurred because as a third grader starting Catholic school, he very much was enthusiastically looking forward to the first day. That first day, the third graders began the school year by taking communion.
Well, this is a very interesting case because this gentleman, it was the big thing that was coming up for them in the very first day of school.
Right.
Great. And this kid was looking forward to this more than anything else in the entire year.
All year, all summer. That's all he thought
right.
about.
That's right. Yeah. That's what, it was like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And we all look for those in our lives. And what happened was, they were instructed, you do not eat breakfast, you do not drink anything before this communion. After the communion, everyone will have a great feast.
Mm-hmm.
He was so excited about this, and he was a very positively focused child, that he decided not even to take the bus to school. He wanted to hop, skip, and jump and, you know, walk the whatever it was, 10 blocks, you know, to get to school.
Early.
So when he got
early too, no doubt, right?
Yes. And when he got there, he was a little dry of mouth as a result of all this enthusiasm, and he stopped at the drinking fountain to have a drink, when suddenly the firm hand grabbed him behind the neck, and there was one of the nuns who said, I'm sorry. You do not get to take communion.
Oh. So whose phone is crackling, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I think it's mine. Please go on, Joe.
All right. I watched or listened to this man's story, and it's as if he was living it all over again, although it had been 60 years. And he told me that it had taken him until he was 45 years old to even be able to recount this story. And then it took him until just recently in his life to be able to recount it without sobbing.
It ate away at him? For that long?
And now that he was reaching a certain stage in his life, which I would call a revered elder, he was at a time where you look back on your life and you enjoy your memories. And this was really impacting his ability to go on with life.
And let me ask you this for 1 second, Jill. What do you think of that nun who took away all those years of this person's life and his soul because the poor kid took a little drink of water, for crying out loud?
Well, this is where I slip out of this very easily, because I've given a lot of thought to some of the stories that I've heard and the great heinous things. I mean, this was a very unfortunate.
I mean, that was evil to me.
Well, she was operating from a place of dogma and righteousness. And I'm certainly not picking on the Catholic Church here, but we all know avenues of both within religion and medicine and the business world and education in which there are hard lines and people take comfort in enforcing them.
Well, if she knew what was going on with the church today, she'd be spinning around
right.
in her grave.
Maybe she is.
You know, maybe she is. I mean, here's... Would you say at the point you started talking to this individual
mm-hmm.
that his life was destroyed? I mean, was he ruined or was he able to get by with this?
You know, my sense is that at a young age, as we all do, we start to get an image of the kind of life we'd like to leave. And he had, I'm sure, envisioned having a wife and children and having a successful business up to a point. And in truth, he had achieved all that. But now what? At the level of your own soul's fulfillment, how are you going to live those elder years, maybe in retirement or just enjoying your life? And he was having trouble.
Because of this episode?
Because of this episode. It was a distinct episode in which a part of him actually became inaccessible to him. And here's how it played out. The third graders were to sit in the front pews on both sides of the chapel with all the other grades sitting behind them.
Yeah.
And at the designated moment, the priest came forward and all the third graders stood up, moved to the center aisle, and moved forward in a classic communion service.
Mm-hmm.
And they all approached, and he was not allowed to leave the pew. He sat there singularly.
My. And everyone looked at him
and humiliated him. He went numb. It not only was embarrassing, it was personally profoundly wounding because of his great sense of connection to this ritual.
Because he got a little drink of water.
Right. Now, he numbed and then kind of went on. But he said, something happened that day. A part of me stepped out of me, and I've never been the same since. Yeah. I said, would you like me to help you? And he said, yes, I would, knowing very much that I'm going to be using a shamanic practice, not necessarily a Catholic practice, but a shamanic practice to create this reunion. When I shifted my awareness with the influence of a rapid drum beat that assists the brainwave to shift to the brainwave of visioning, I pulled in my spirits who do this work with me. We had a meeting. Everybody knew their job description. One of them was to track the missing soul part. It brought us into the dream aspect of that chapel. And as I looked around at the sort of the familiarness of it, I began to notice that there was a little head sitting in the front pew of this chapel. We walked up the center aisle. I looked around, and it was as if there was a statue of a boy sitting in the pew. There was no color to the face. There was no movement of breathing. There was no recognition of us. At a moment like that, I realized to some degree that this is a soul part that is contained or trapped within this rigidity. And it's not my job, really, to do the masterful healing work. I'm there to observe and to bridge back the results. But I did turn in the direction and put the request out. Who amongst you, meaning the greater spiritual realm, will come and assist this soul back to a free state? The side door of the chapel in the back opened, and in walked a presence that I can best describe energetically as unlike any I had ever experienced before. And as this presence came to the front, it was undeniable to me that this was the spirit of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, sometimes people ask me, what about the religions? I mean, you obviously don't work within those doctrines. And I go, you know, it's a shamanic method, but there is a lot of involvement of our so-called religious spirit. And he greeted me, greeted the other spirits, and then turned and put all his attention on this little boy sitting in this pew. And he leaned forward with a tremendous amount of love in his face, and he very gently, sweetly, blew his breath onto the face of this little boy, who then began to turn pink, and he began to soften. You could start to see movement. Mm-hmm. You could start to see him breathe. It was like a return to much more of an enlivened state. And as this little boy was coming to life, looking around, blinking a bit, Jesus turned and walked deeper into the front of the church with his back. And I'm even considering that maybe it would have been too much to be face-to-face.
Sounds like Hank's back with his crackly phone. Is he?
He is sitting very still right now.
Yeah.
As this child began to recognize that he was not alone, we began to instruct him as to what was going on. We're here to create a reunion between you and the source of your energy. This individual is no longer a little boy. He has grown to be a man. He is in a better position to welcome you home and to include you in the overall essence in which he can live his life. And at that moment, Jesus of Nazareth turned around, came down the steps, carrying all the implements of communion, and asked that child essence to come forward and take communion directly from him. It was so touching. This is not anything I could have ever thought of. It was just a remarkable act that was performed.
Was this individual, was he fixed?
You're talking about the boy's spirit?
Mm-hmm.
He began to move. He began animated as if he had come to life. It's like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz being oiled. He came to life, and he got up, and he moved forward, and he accepted communion directly from Jesus. Now, when that was complete, Jesus handed him over to us and simply retreated the way in which he came. And it was at that point I knew that our purpose for being there was complete, and I was able to bridge this wonderful energetic essence back to this man using the shamanic method. And I do not know exactly how it's going to show up in an individual beyond the session. We are open to the individuality of each one of us, but I do know the feedback I got from this man just a few weeks later was that there was a wonderful sense of aliveness. He was back into a thriving mode. He was looking to remarry, having lost his wife years before.
And he was 60 years old, though.
He was in his late 60s, yeah, and ready to enjoy life unlike any time before.